And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future. Here comes Luca.
Welcome to 77 Minutes, the only Mavericks podcast that, if we were to be Luka Doncic's teammate, we would hit a shot without needing a perfect pass right to the hands.
You'd hope.
The Mavericks, I guess I should introduce myself. Oh man, it's an emergency pod. I'm already out of sorts. I don't know how to do these things.
Not a lot of sleep down last night.
Yeah. What is that anyway? I'm Tim Cato. I write about the Mavericks. Talk about the Mavericks. You know, the whole spiel for The Athletic. And we got Mike Pelucci. It's just us two today.
You and me. Two-man game. Dirk and Jet style. let's harken back to the last podcast real quick, because I said it then, and it bore true. After game one, with a 30-point triple-double, I said there's no point in writing about it. There will be a better Luka game. After game two, where he went for 40 and pushing a 40-point triple-double, I said there will be a better Luka game. Friends, you saw the better Luka game last night. That was, if last year's game winner was the first big Luka moment on the playoff reel that we'll watch someday when he retires, and there's a big documentary about his exploits, last night was number two. That was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you're saying this and you're right, but he also missed 20 shots and was one of seven in the fourth quarter. Again, you're right. That was an absurd basketball game. He was the only reason the Mavericks won.
Yes.
And like only with as large a font as you can put it in. But he could have been better. And that's what's so wild. Yeah.
There's that feeling of when the great ones do something, there's that sense of the moment, right? You know, I mean, there's the ineffable aspect of it. He's played better games in this series statistically, games one and two for sure. But the stakes, what was on the line, the fact that, you know, yeah, he looked a hell of a lot better than he did game four, but he's not healthy. There's no way he's healthy. He goes out there, he's still banged up, he does that. He gets no help. They're starting Boban, right? This is throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. And the only thing that stuck, as imperfect as it was, the only thing that stuck was Luka Doncic is the best player on the floor. That's it. And that was enough. I mean, like you said, there are all kinds of ways in which they are not going to win a game like that again. There are too many ways in which they should have probably lost that game, but the really great ones steal ones for you sometimes. And that's what Luka Doncic did last night. Even not at 100%, even on the road, didn't matter. He got it done. He did something very special and he got it done.
Let's just walk through chronologically, because there was a lot of interesting stuff that happened. What did you make of Boban?
I give Rick credit, right? I loved how you put it this morning in this morning's piece. If you haven't read Tim's piece from last night, do it. It's a clinic in writing on a deadline.
TheAthletic.com, 77 minutes in heaven. I believe there's a half off promo. There's some sort of discount there behind the window.
You should read it. You should read Tim all the time. It's hard to do what he did on deadline. It's hard to do what he did even if you have time. But as Tim put it, and it's true, Boban didn't work, but it kind of worked, right? Like, if you look at the raw numbers, Boban's on-court impact wasn't great. There were definitely awkward moments where it was the, let's try to funnel the ball to Boban, and there were too many defenders around, but he's here and he's big, so let's just give it a shot and see. But the idea, you know, we talk a lot about Kristaps Porzingis and gravity, right? If there is a defense for anything you were watching in this series and Porzingis' off nights, it is the gravity that he plays, right? Rick Carlisle brought it up again last night, that when he is on the floor and he is spacing out, even if he's not hitting the shots, it creates opportunities for other people. He is a perceived threat, so that defenses have to shift to him. And that stuff matters. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but it matters. Well, when Boban's on the floor, people think twice about going to the rack. And that's especially true when there was another big out there with him, which Dallas played with two bigs on the floor at all times for the first time this whole series. One of the rare times, I mean, it's been a while since they'd even did that often in the regular season. That wasn't a thing that was going on. But, you know, give Rick Carlisle credit. He figured out that this team isn't going to really guard the Clippers top to bottom. They are not, the personnel are not there. So what can you do? Well, the Clippers are, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, they were the best three-point shooting team in the league this year. Am I right about that? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's been a long night.
Yeah, fourth best in NBA history.
Yeah, so you're talking about an all-time prolific three-point shooting team. You're talking about multiple guys who get looks. And just the fact that if you can't guard Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, and you can't, either they are going to get those looks or somebody else will. You can't do anything about that. But what you can do, at least to some effect, is they were allowing an absolutely wild amount of shots and success at the rim. I believe that number was 61% of their two-pointers in the first four games of the series. If you put two big dudes in the paint and one of them is Boban Marjanovic, chances are either effectively, in terms of basketball sense, of somebody rotates over and seals off an angle, or just perceptually of that's a large man that I do not want to run at. When he's on the floor with Kristaps Porzingis, though, that's a 7'3" dude and a 7'4" dude. That matters. Will that always show up in the sheet? No. Were there looks that the Clippers should have made anyways last night? Absolutely. They left paint points on the table. Do not mistake that for a second. But the idea of we're going to put more size in the paint and we're going to make this harder for you. And if you want to shoot your threes, shoot your threes. And you can only beat us one way as opposed to both ways. I mean, hey, it's an idea. I don't know if it will work for two more games if this is what the series goes to. But for one night at least, when you needed this game, hell yeah, it was a good idea.
Yeah, I like that you said perceptually, because it's not like the Mavericks had shot blockers on the court. Boban is not a shot blocker. Kristaps Porzingis did not record a shot. The Mavericks had two blocked shots the entire game. They were not, you know, just snuffing out the Clippers every time they tried to shoot a layup. But there was a perception, real or not, that the Clippers were just not getting into the paint. The zone defense affects that as well. You know, you're not gonna be beat on a straight line drive and then just hit a layup if the player you're beating, there's someone right behind him already kind of stepping into that space. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to remember that it was like the biggest starting lineup since 2002 for the Mavericks and maybe in league history, because it was also the Mavericks who had the record before that.
It was the big three plus Rafe plus Bradley, I think is what it was. Was that, that starting five?
Yeah, I think so, that's right. But I mean, they're just filling up, you know, when you put Boban and KP out there, like you said, you're filling up like mass on the court. You're filling up cubic space. And it's funny, but, you know, it's a hilarious approach to a game if you kind of jet out and ignore the stakes of everything. But I guess I have to say it worked. I mean, I don't have another conclusion to draw from this, but to look at what happened and say, yeah, you know, you got the Clippers to shoot more threes. They missed a lot of them. On another night, they might have hit them. You got a weird game from Kawhi. I mean, with the way he's been playing this series, anything to throw him off his rhythm and routine was needed, and it worked. And then the other big factor is that Zubac played a lot in the third quarter. When the Mavericks made their third quarter run to close, that was with Zubac on the court pretty much the entire time. And without Boban either to match him for a lot of those minutes. And I don't know why Ty Lue, after four data points, four games in the series, that has been very clearly shown to him that he shouldn't be playing Zubac pretty much at all. I don't know why he kept going to that.
I think he might have been a little shell-shocked. I think he might have been a little shell-shocked because you're not expecting a team to go that big and really commit to it, right? We saw Boban in game four was a gimmick. We're going to throw him out there for a few minutes and see what happens. Boban was the plan last night, and not just Boban, right? I mean, give a lot of credit to Dwight Powell for what he did in the second half. Yeah, that was one of the better halves he put together all year. One of the better halves.
Well, you say Ty Lue wasn't expecting it, except he literally predicted it at the pregame.
He was, but there's a difference between they're going to start Bobby and they're going to play two bigs on the floor all night long.
Right.
Right.
And I agree with that.
You know, I think the key here and the key point of delineation is, and you bring it up with Kawhi too, is how much of what you saw last night can you really bank on being sustainable? And I would argue it's very little of it. You are not getting that bad of an effort from Kawhi, you were not getting, you know, I mean, a lot of missed threes, missed opportunities at the rim late in game, a lot of carelessness down the stretch with the ball from the Clippers late in game. Some of that forced, you know, great defensive forced plays, but some of it not. I don't think you're going to get that much turnover luck in the last 4 minutes again. A Doncic effort like that, you know, Luka's so good, you can never rule it out, but Doncic with minimal help, I mean, the only player above 15 points other than him was Tim Hardaway Jr. And Tim didn't have a great game until, you know, hit a couple shots late. This was not a vintage Tim Hardaway effort. There's a lot that I don't think, if you play that game 10 more times, I don't think Dallas wins the majority of those games. But that's okay. The question is, what do you do now in game six? You know, can they roll out the same two big lineup for 48 more minutes and expect it to work that effectively? I'm skeptical. But on the flip side, if you want some encouragement, they won last night and Luka got very little help. Like we just said, it was not a vintage Tim Hardaway effort by any means. He was clearly the second most effective offensive weapon. After that, it was a train wreck. Everything that could have gone wrong for the supporting cast did go wrong, much like it did in game four. The difference is you get a great, great Luka performance and you get, you know, some tricks, some Rick Carlisle craftiness that worked for at least one night. So for this going forward in game six, Tim, what has to happen for them to close this series out? Because I don't think they want to go back. Even though the road teams won every game, I do not think if you're Dallas, you want to go back to LA for a game seven.
Nah. I think game six. Oh, man, just hit my mic. Yeah, I think you want to win game six.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Them being so bad at home is just weird. I would love to know the psychology behind that. Or whether it's just random, but yeah, I think that's the idea. The offense can't look like it did in the fourth quarter. As much as the offense is heliocentric and all these, you know, big words we use to basically mean that, you know, it's Luka's offense and he's the driving force behind everything, I've never seen the Mavericks look that like timid and tepid with the ball, where they had it and just instantly like head on a swivel. Where is Luka? Take the ball. Go do something.
It felt like
that fourth quarter was wild.
It felt like the first LeBron tenure in Cleveland, where it was LeBron and a bunch of role players and just give LeBron the ball and get out of the way. And the thing is, this supporting cast is better than that. You know, this isn't a championship caliber supporting cast, but this is a better group than, oh my God, what are we going to do? Let Luka do a bunch of stuff and maybe we'll hit some corner threes. Like, they need to do more, and they can do more, and they have done more. They've done more in this series than that.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that exactly. I wrote about the formula of how the Mavericks won games against the Clippers this year, the, you know, the first two and the regular season. Obviously, we've talked about how, you know, game five, Wednesday's game, did not follow any formula whatsoever. It barely even followed discernible, you know, trends of basketball. And many times it didn't look like any basketball I've seen. Especially those first 6 minutes were truly, truly wild in terms of just the scampering zone defense with massive players running across the court and the Clippers, you know, trying to adjust. It was weird. You need a more sustainable approach for game six. I don't know exactly how you do it. I was a little, I don't know if I was surprised that they kind of rearranged KP's role in the way that they did, like you talked about, where he was really just a corner three-point shooter. When I wrote about game five and adjustments that I expected the Mavericks to make, I thought they needed to get, you know, something like 20 points out of him, whether, you know, it came from him being a more aggressive cutter or someone who they did try to post up 10 feet from the basket and see if he could be effective and, you know, just hit like four shots throughout a game, a few threes, some free throws. That adds up to 20, 22 points. And when the method of beating the Clippers really feels like it's going to be outscoring them, you know, that felt like it would be a important, 20 points there. And instead he has 8, right? It's hard to, you know, the only thing that matters from the Mavericks perspective is that they won. Like, it doesn't matter that it's not sustainable. They've proven, you know, they've now beat the Clippers 5 times this season. You know, when you include the two regular season games, they've lost 3. You know, the idea that the Mavericks can't beat the Clippers again is ludicrous. Of course they can. I mean, it's not going to look like it did in game 5, probably. I'd be very interested to see if Carlisle goes back to Boban. I think he probably would, but I don't know if we're going to get 20 minutes of Boban. But I do think that, you know, Carlisle is convinced that the answer is to go big. It's hard to argue with him. You know, if the Clippers are going to go this small, and if he can do anything to convince Lou to get Zubac back on the court, sure. You know, go right back to that and see what happens.
You figure Rick Carlisle being as smart as he is, there's a counter move, right? If he goes Boban again and he knows the Clippers have film on it and they know what to expect, I would be very surprised if Rick doesn't have a plan for the Clippers playing for that, you know, because it can't be, like you said, I don't think it'd be this much Boban. I don't know if it could be this much two bigs period. Maybe it could be. Maybe it could be, and it's more Dwight Powell, because Dwight Powell, the second half, was absolutely massive. But there's, you know, I think the degree of Boban probably ratchets down a little bit, but will the degree of two bigs ratchet down? I don't know. That's going to be an interesting question. I think you got to give him credit, because I think after games 3 and 4, we're sitting here going, okay, the Clippers found their answer. They have the deeper roster and they're going to go small. And what can you do? And I thought, and from talking to other smart basketball people, including yourself, I think a lot of people figured, okay, go small with them and see what happens. See if you can outscore it. You still got the best player. Going big,
and maybe
is,
if they had gone small, it would have worked. That's the weird thing. We don't know.
But what I do know is it's ballsy to go that big. And it worked. And even if it worked for one night, you now have series advantage. So good on Rick for trying it. Good on all those dudes for pulling it off. And they pulled it off, like you said, with Porzingis in an extremely peripheral role, with Maxi Kleba being in foul trouble in the second half and not really being able to depend on him down the stretch. I don't think if you had to rank the Mavs 5 big men, and you said going into this, two of them, you know, what two will have to be the best two for them to win this game 5? If you're power ranking it, Boban and Dwight Powell are probably 4 and 5 in some order, right? You're thinking it's Porzingis, you're thinking it's Kleba, and you're thinking it's Willie. And those two guys stepped up. And if that's what works, that's what works, right? I mean, we talked in the wider level about it doesn't have to be every role player that steps up in this series. You know, in a scoring perspective, just some of them do. Well, last night in a more micro capacity, it didn't have to be all 5 big men who had to step up and play at a great level to make this whole literal go big or go home scheme work. Just a couple of them did. That it was Boban and Dwight Powell. Okay, sure. I guess that's what got the job done last night. Will that be those two in game 6? It might not be. Maybe it's Porzingis and Cauley-Stein. Who knows? But I think the key is, what will the formula be? And even if it's less Boban, I'm inclined to think right now that they will try two bigs on the floor together in some combination until the Clippers prove that they can stop it.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. You know, it's, man, I just can't get over how weird of a game that was.
It was bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre.
It was, yeah.
I am starting to get to the point where I do think for game 6, one of Brunson or Finney-Smith really has to step up. Because even Hardaway's down games have not been problematic. Dorian Finney-Smith since game 1 has been a black hole offensively. And he was great down the stretch defensively. He's given you a lot. He played a hell of a game against Kawhi Leonard. He does a lot on the floor when he's not shooting well. But there are a lot of looks that he gets, and regular season Dorian over the last several years has increasingly improved his effectiveness at those looks. And the last four games, it's really fallen off. They need him to make some shots. They could really use Brunson as the only other dependable backcourt creator to give them something to where you could feel confident resting Luka for more than he did. That's the other aspect we haven't talked about. Luka was on the floor all night. He's young enough that, you know, you figure he could do it again if he has to, even if he's not 100%, but you don't want that. If
Brunson, it was clearly affected in the fourth quarter. You look at his one of seven, one of eight shooting. You know, you have to think that some of that was the fatigue. You know, a lot of the shots were rim outs and stuff, but he wasn't getting to the rim. It was, you know, these turnaround contested mid-rangers. And, you know, on another night, maybe he hits four of them. But, you know, you have to assume that to some level, the fatigue in that situation did affect him down the stretch. And yeah, you don't want that. I mean, if he's going to play that much, then you got to close it out sooner. You got to build a bigger lead. I don't know what it is, but, you know, like Luka's not, you know, if it's a tight game from start to finish in game six, he's going to play 43 more minutes. He might play 45.
But even if you could buy him three, maybe 4 minutes more on the bench, that can mean a lot. But the only way that can happen is if Brunson steps up. There's nobody else who can shoulder that creative burden. So, I mean, ideally, both of them play well. But if Dorian's hitting shots, then if Luka's playing a huge amount of minutes, Dorian hitting even two more threes is going to be a massive, massive upgrade, right? Or the flip side of that is if, you know, he's not hitting shots and Luka needs some more rest, but Jaylen can do some more in those non-Luka minutes to affect the game, then you're going to create offense in other ways.
It's about how the game is going. You know, Luka got those 2 minutes at the start of the fourth quarter because they had built the lead in the third.
Right.
You know, if they hadn't, would he have come out of the game? I'm not sure he would have come out of the game there. But you got him to, you stole 2 minutes of rest by closing out the third quarter as well as they did.
Yep.
And I think that's how Karlov views it. It's not a, you know, he knows when he would like to rest Luka. He knows that he would like to get him, you know, two breaks throughout a game. He talked a lot about after the game. He talked a lot about the longer media timeouts and how he, you know, was glad that there was a longer view. You know, he's meticulously factoring all of the, you know, seconds of rest that Luka's getting, and he's going to try to get him as much as possible. But I think there's a good chance he just stays in the game to start the fourth quarter if it was tied or if the Mavericks were down. But it's that run they went on, and to go on a run like that, you need bench players, you know, not just Luka contributing to the game for sure.
Yeah, I shout out our pal Saad Youssef, who put it very perfectly on Twitter when he said that it felt like that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but anytime you're about to go on a long vacation and you just do a ton of work to, you know, to work ahead and get your productivity out of the way, so stuff's getting done while you're out of the office, that's what Luka did. Just stack this massive lead so we can sit on the bench for a few minutes and recuperate.
Like the person who tweeted the Mavericks roster is like one of those things where it's build a roster and you have this amount of dollars, you know, the kind of the viral Twitter memes. But Luka is $6 and you only have $8. And so you got $2 left over, and it's just like, oh, you know, figure it out. Which it's a little unfair to everybody else. But it looked like that in game five. That's the point. It is unfair to the rest of the roster, but it did look like that. That is, you know, he scored or assisted 31 of the 38 buckets. That's wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got. You got any closing thoughts here?
No, man. I mean, it's not how you drew it up, you know, bad process in a lot of ways, but a great result. You could have a game or two like that in a series. I would think for them to get this last one, the process has to be a little bit better.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to sum it up. Also, Rick's enough of a madman that maybe he had this entire game sketched out in a notepad hours before.
Entirely just possible. Listen, the dude knows what he's doing. The guy,
play by play, he was like, all right, so I think this will happen. Anyway. All right, we're getting it out of here. Thanks, y'all, for listening. We'll be back. Probably me and a guest after Friday's Game 6. Win or lose. See y'all then.
Don't fight the future. Please be nice to Luka. Future four-time MVP.
It's a wrap, dude.
That is a wrap.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.